Almighty and ever-living God, source of all wisdom and understanding, be present with those who take counsel in this parish for the renewal and mission of your church. Teach us in all things to seek first your honor and glory. Guide us to perceive what is right, and grant us both the courage to pursue it and the grace to accomplish it, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to give just a quick, these sheets are informational. The first one has information. This is largely what I'm going to be presenting for you today. The commitments of the vestry as it relates to the foundations campaign and how it relates to our mission. And then what are we aiming to do? What's the goal of the foundations campaign? And Isaiah 58:12 is sort of a guiding structure for that. On the back of this sheet, there's information that I'm not going to cover here today on the specific roles of the vestry. We've been growing up as a vestry. We're not just sort of like anonymous, like members of the vestry now. We're dividing and conquering all kinds of things. And so if you want to know more about each individual vestry member, what's going on there, you can read that there as well. And there's some more information on the back there. I'll talk a little bit more about this today, towards the end. And Josiah may or may not want to kind of go through this, this packet a little bit, maybe make note of a few things there, because I probably skipped over important things, but that's why he's going to do the cleanup job at the end, okay? So many of us guys were hanging out at Greg's house on Friday night, and one of the many rabbit trail topics of conversation that led to another conversation that led to another, I don't remember who got there or how we got there, which is pretty true of our men's nights. But it was Josiah or Sam or both of them. I think it was both of them, but I can't remember who said what. So, if I spurn or talk bad about you, and it was totally Sam who said it and vice versa, it was probably only going to go that way. But I remember who was talking about it, but, they were telling, and it came up in conversation naturally, one of my favorite stories, which is the story of Mission Hope Beckley. Who was a part of Mission Hope Beckley, like 2018, 2019, like really early on in the life of our church, okay? So a few of us were gathered in Uptown, and I think Josiah was talking about this, in Uptown Beckley in 2018 to dream about what a church might look like here in Beckley, West Virginia. And I was a deacon at that point, and I was just in the corner, and I didn't say a word. Which I know it's hard to believe. I didn't say a word. I barely knew these people. So, but I was like, this is really cool. And I want to be in this room and watch what's happening. And so, that was 8 years ago. It's pretty wild. All that God has done in 8 years. Josiah was talking about, and maybe this was Sam, was talking about prayer walks around the city of Beckley. And about how Father Ben, and if you don't know who Father Ben is, he is my father in the faith, my mentor from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Christ Church, the former rector there. He said in probably a more simple or better way than this, he said, I'm pretty sure that St. Mary's United Methodist Church is where you guys are going to be a church. Back in 2018, he said that. That's what God wants for you. And that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool story. The following year, so in 2019, Father Ben, he catechized 11 of you. I think 10 of the 11 might be in this room. Who is that? Who was confirmed in 2019 by Bishop Steve in November? Yeah. Nope. So I think it's 9 of the 11 are in here, okay? So Father Ben catechized 11 from four different families in the Anglican way of following Jesus in his foundations course. Okay, this is part of our story. We used the foundations course for several years at the beginning of our parish, and Bishop Steve confirmed all of those 11 beautiful people before I even moved to town, before I even was even a thought to come here. So there was a lot of prayer a lot of prayer that built up to this day, a lot of pastoral care, Christian catechesis from the best, the GOAT, Father Ben Sharp. And all of this is the inheritance that has led us to owning this building. It's pretty crazy. It's a pretty cool story. We have, in many ways, really just the last 6 years and going on 6.5 years, we have just done the same thing over and over again. We have followed the Anglican way of following Jesus, of instituting and bringing people in with Christian catechesis and building them up, confirming them, and worshiping together. And that's what we've been doing. It's nothing fancy. We've seen 63 confirmations in the last 6.5 years. 63. We've consecrated water for holy baptism, starting all the way up in Mount Hope, all the way down to Flat Top Lake and places in between. And 50 people have been baptized into Christ. 50 people in the last 6.5 years. So this is our story from a few families. And even some of those families, we've trained and ordained and sent out to start a new parish in Somersville. And so it's a really cool story. I'm so thankful for everything that's come before. We've been blessed by, if you don't know, and you should know, that for the first 5 years of our parish, our diocese, which is real churches with real needs of their own, have been generous in giving money to the work of ministry. And for the first 5 years of our church plant, we received $150,000 from churches in our diocese through our diocese grant to plant this church, which is awesome. That's how we are here today. In so many ways, we've been blessed. And for the last almost 2 years now, we have been fully self-sustaining as a church. So we're no longer receiving support from the diocese regularly at all. And we are fully self-sustaining. This is our inheritance. This is foundational, not only Father Ben's foundations course, but this story, this Anglican way of following Jesus, this non-fancy way of following Jesus, this is our inheritance. And this is what we hope by this campaign and faithful ministry alongside this foundations campaign will continue after I'm dead and gone. That's the aim and the goal. We want to build up not a monument to Chris, not a monument to the Diocese of Christ Our Hope. We want to build a faithful, gospel-proclaiming Anglican church, a sacramental church in Beckley, West Virginia, that is able to withstand generational change for the long haul. And part of that is this gift of this building, and we're excited about this next phase of what God is doing in our church. And so that is why this is called the Foundations Campaign, Foundations Course of Father Ben. We are not building a new foundation. We are building upon what God has already been doing. Christ being the cornerstone, the apostles and the apostolic teaching as the foundation. And then this story, this inheritance that's built upon that. So, we're now the owners of this beautiful property. So let me sort of break it down for you really quickly. We have a half acre lot, which, you know, it's not huge, but it's nice. It's a half acre lot. We love it. It backs up to the 7th fairway of the Black Knight Golf Course. That's pretty cool. It definitely is really cool in aerial photography. It looks like we live in a beautiful oasis of a country club. We're a country club church. That's exactly what we are. It's centrally located, so we have people who travel from Fayetteville and Oak Hill all the way down to Flat Top and Bluefield and Princeton, and we have people coming from all over the Hollers. So it's centrally located in our city. We love that. We are now the owner of this 1,750 square foot parsonage. It's beautifully maintained, actually in many ways a lot better than the church itself, although the church itself has been really well maintained. You could do everything in comparison to Southern West Virginia standards, but honestly, the appraiser who appraised our church, who has been appraising these kinds of buildings and homes for 40 or 50 years, he said, "This is incredible. this building and that building. It's incredible. And so that parsonage is awesome. We have big plans for that. But there's a tenant there, Donna. She's beautiful. She's wonderful. She is, she's a really good steward of that space. So we can just give thanks to God, because that's not normal either, to have tenants who treat the property that they don't own as if it's their own. So that's a gift. It's a gift to us. This building, which if you don't know, is 10,100 square feet. Okay. And I'm rehearsing these sorts. So we have a lot of space, both outside and inside, for expanding and flourishing ministry for generations to come. So this is what we have been given to be stewards of. And that is what we want to do well. And so this is what the Foundations campaign is all about. It's simple. This is the objective or the goal of the Foundations campaign. And you can see this on the third page of that handout if you want. But over the next 3 years, our goal, and we recognize that it is a big goal, our goal is to raise $300,000 to renew our building and to bring beauty both inside and outside, to pay off our loan. We would love to be able to pay off our loan in the next 3 years. We don't have to do that, but we would love to do that. That would be a gift to us. And we could talk about details of that as well, why that would be beneficial for us to do that. And we want to further establish a stable financial foundation for Flourishing Parish in Beckley, West Virginia. And again, the goal is for generations to come. So one of the reasons why we want to raise capital as a church is because we don't want to be a church that is completely and entirely focused upon maintenance of the property. We want to be doing ministry. Don't you guys know that churches can become something that you spend all of your time and energy on, and you've lost what the goal and mission of the church is? And so we have both been saving very, very aggressively and conservatively. So we have a lot of money in our savings, and we can talk all about that if you'd like to offline. But we already have plans, and we're making plans to spend a good chunk of that soon, very soon, okay? And so we need to raise extra capital to be able to address a lot of anticipated costs that we see in the future, but also to have a nice security fund and a building fund that we're not having to beg and to borrow and to get annoying with fundraising all the time, okay? So that's sort of like an overall statement. So let me talk about the commitments of our vestry. We've been talking about this kind of thing for years. And in the last several months, it's been getting a little bit closer to reality. And our vestry is committed to several things. And you can see that listed there on this sheet. And they want to lead in this way. And our vestry is committed to sacrificial giving. We're not asking anyone to do something that we are not willing to do ourselves. And so we're committed to giving generously and to growing our capacity for giving as a vestry and our clergy as well. And so Deacon Derek and Jody and I and Whitney with Deacon Derek they've been discerning this already, and we're excited to give to this church. Because again, I don't want this church to be about me, and I want it to be something that we can hand off, a healthy, flourishing ministry, both building and ministry, all those things together for generations to come. So our vestry is committed to diligence in prayer, even as we work really hard to make and execute plans. So we're not just throwing prayers up to the Lord and say, hey, God, do it for us. We're working hard and we're asking God to do the work at the same time. This is fundamental. We have many goals. And in those goals, we want to be clear in all of our communication, which is a challenge. And one of the reasons why we're bringing on Josiah Caleb to help us do that well. He can be a sounding board for me, Josiah and Joe and the rest of the vestry. We talk a lot, but like he can hear things that we can't hear because we're in an echo chamber sometimes. And so we want to be clear in all of our communications. We're not hiding anything from you. We want to be transparent in every area of finances. The vestry is not a closed thing that you can't see into. The vestry is putting a lot of time and effort into making plans for how we will be stewards of this building and give thanks to God for them, because they're putting in a lot of hard work. But we're not doing it in a closed room. And so we want to be transparent. And again, we want to continue to be wise savers. We want to have, this is a stewardship. And so this church wasn't built in a day, and we can't restore it in a day. And so we want to be very thoughtful about how we do that and make sure that we don't drain all of our reserves. Our vestry is committed to being patient in hiring qualified contractors and getting multiple quotes, sourcing many different wise counselors, both inside and outside of our church, to be able to do a lot of the work that we're doing. And that will always be alongside providing many opportunities for each of us, all of us, and that's from the youngest all the way to the top, to serve over the next 3 years, to give not only of our finances, we're going to have many opportunities to be able to come and to actually accomplish tasks here in the church. But that balance is really important. We don't want to say, hey, you guys are all free construction workers, okay? And you all get to work. Let me tell you what you guys get to do, 10 or 15 hours a week for the next 3 years. And we're going to start doing the roofing next month, okay? So no. Like, those aren't volunteer jobs, okay? And so we have to have a wise balance of paying licensed, qualified contractors and also letting us give of ourselves and to be able to serve in the church. And so that's going to be a dynamic balance that we are committed to keeping that in check. Everyone can't do everything, okay? That is more and more going to be true. So if there's a work day of the church, there's opportunity to come serve in the church. You don't have to be at everything. If you have something else to do or something else is on the calendar, that's okay. Many different gifts or many different people are bringing themselves to this. And so we want to be patient and diligent in communication and all of that, and be balanced in how we bring in contractors as well as volunteers. I'm already at 18 minutes. You're right, John. I knew you were right, but unfortunately, I'm actually recording this, so there's evidence. So even as we raise our capacity for giving as a parish, we're going to be spending resources on this building. We're making plans to do that right now. We're going to commit to growing our generosity and not hoarding our resources. So even as we raise funds, we want to be able to meet needs. Just in the last few weeks, we've been able to meet needs for other counties, Young Life counties who have come in. We want to be able to raise our capacity for benevolence and for giving to ministries outside of our church. So one of the things that the purchase of a building can do is it can make you turn inward completely. And it's all, every fund that comes in is only for us. No. We need to grow our capacity, and the vestry is committed to doing that, to continue to open up our hands and be generous. The foundations campaign is necessary to ensure that our building and its use supports and doesn't distract from our mission. That's the overall point of this. Worship the King around the table for the life of the world. We don't want the oversight of this building to distract from that, but more than that, we want it to build up so that this building becomes a place of hospitality and growing ministry and more people coming in to worship Jesus. Okay, so Isaiah 58:12, I'm going to talk quickly about these four things and then I'm almost done. Isaiah 58:12, and your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. This is Yahweh God talking to his son, Israel, the people of God, to us. We, participate in his work of renewal. So rebuilding, we're committed to honoring the character of this beautiful building. We don't want to get rid of the character. We want to honor the history of this building. And so there's going to be a lot of ways in which we want to rebuild and restore and not make it all fancy and new. We want to honor the history of this building. Everything that we have, we received from the Lord, and we're receiving it from generational faithfulness. So we're going to rebuild. We're going to raise up, and this is so important, especially in the context of Isaiah 58. The main point of Isaiah 58 isn't about building up the temple. It's not centrally about building up the temple. It's about building up people. And that's what Isaiah says, you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. In other words, the returning exiles are going back to the temple to rebuild the temple, but for the goal that we would have generations of worshipers in that space. People who have been made faithful disciples and are making disciples. And so this is the point. This is the center of Isaiah 58. And so this is the point for us. As we invest in the building, as we raise funds to be able to build a stronger foundation financially for investment and for the future, we are going to be actively investing in our ministry capacity. And we're already starting to do this. We're hiring a family ministries coordinator. We're hiring communications coordinator. And we need to do more of that. We need to grow our capacity to do ministry and not just grow a bunch of money so that we can spend more money and buy fancy things, okay? So we're committed to raising up the generations, and so that's a big part of the Foundations campaign. This space is for worship. That's the end goal, and it's for discipleship. Not once we're done with the building, now we can do worship and discipleship. No, we're going to invest in that actively as we go through this campaign. So thirdly, repair. You shall be called a repairer of the breach. We're committed to creating a safe worship space for everyone. This is a central part of the stewardship of our vestry, which is physical safety, and it's safety for our children and all the things that entails. And so we are going to be repairing the front steps, which you guys have seen for a long time, are crumbling. Like, there's parts that are crumbling. Literally, there's a rail that had broke off. It rusted off a while ago down there. So we're going to be repairing handrails. We're going to secure doors and security systems and improve handicap accessibility. We got a lot of goals and things that we want to do. Went around with the fire marshals. We need to improve and update several things related to our fire alarm system, and all of this to protect and create a safe space. So in other words, we want this building to be a sacramental picture of the welcome and safety of God. So God is our resting place. God is our hope. God is our security. We rest in the shadow of his wings, but everything, every space in this building, we want every space to be a little picture of that. Okay. And so, we're going to repair the breach. And lastly, restore. We are committed to cultivating beauty and hospitality as we invest in this building. We'll be conservative in our spending, but not in our imagination. And what do I mean by that? Our aim isn't medieval Gothic cathedrals, right? Let's build a huge thing as a monument to our success and glory or something like that, all the while the ministry falls apart, okay? But neither is it, are we going to cut every cost and be curmudgeons about all of our money and make everything drab and boring. No, we want to be beautiful. We want to be beautiful. And so that's one of the things I'm most excited about is, like, I'm already started talking with several people and curating all of the people who create beautiful spaces and love beautiful things in our church. I'm excited about that. I want to see art everywhere. I have visions for the chancel where the band is going to be, and you don't know what the chancel is, and that doesn't matter. It's okay. I just want it to be awesome. Again, not a medieval Gothic cathedral, but we want to be Anglicans, y'all. We want to do beautiful things, okay? So we're going to restore even as we're, you know, we don't want to be stingy. Okay, so we're going to do that. We want to create warm, hospitable spaces for people. And this room is actually like part of that. You guys remember what this room used to look like? As soon as we invested and we were real stingy about it because we didn't own the building, and we put probably more work ourselves into this space than we probably should have. We learned a lot of things in that process. So we probably should have hired out a little bit more and spent a little bit more money, but we didn't own the building. But as soon as we did this, invested in this space, everybody wanted to have a baby shower in here or hang out in here or come down to, like, so that's what's going to happen if we value this building. If we invest in it, Jesus says, our heart will follow that investment. And so I want to see that. I want to see living rooms all over this place that people feel welcome. I want the upstairs, the narthex, the outside, everything to say, hey, God is real. He is alive and he's building something that's going to be here for a long time. So that's what this is all about. That's the end goal. That's the telos. There's a whole lot more things I could say about this. But what am I asking you to do today? That is my last thing. And John, you're right. It's 26 minutes. John just looked at his watch. He's judging me. So this is, yeah. This is very specifically what I want you to do. Beginning this morning and the next three Sundays in August, I will be teaching and preaching along with Deacon Derek about generosity and worship. What we do up there is about the worship of God. It's not fundamentally to make this thing go better. We want to teach from the scriptures in worship of the Lord upstairs, not with an end in mind other than the worship and glory of God. Okay. So upstairs is the worship of Jesus. It's not a fundraising effort. And I really want to make a careful distinction between those two things. The gospel is fundamentally come and buy without money. Okay? So you cannot have any sort of qualifications other than faith and repentance to come to the Lord. But we want to teach from the scriptures on that. So we're going to do that this month. And during that time, we are asking that you, as households, each and every household in CTK, and so that is member households, and if you are a younger kid in a household, or you are now an adult yourself, in some sense, you start becoming your own household, and so I want you to think about this too. I want you to join this conversation. I want you to start thinking about your allowance and your stewardship and the ways in which God is calling you to invest in this parish. With your time and your talent and treasure. So beginning today and throughout the rest of August, we are inviting every member household to read carefully, especially this packet. Read carefully this packet, these materials that are before you. And I'm asking you, here's the three things, to count the cost. In other words, look at your household budget. Look at all of the costs, the things coming in and the things going out, to really consider that. We don't do that enough. I don't do that enough. To carefully consider all of that. And then finally, to in the next 3 to 4 or 5 weeks in the month of August, to commit to give sacrificially to the Lord through this church. Okay? So we want to grow our capacity for giving. That is building up a disposition to the Lord that is open-handed in the tithe. But even more than that, that is growing our capacity to give above, even far above the tithe, and to give more and more, open our hands more and more. And so there's a lot in these pages. You don't have to read them all now. I would love for you to sit down with your spouse and certainly with your kids and talk about these things. The last two pages of that packet, in particular, the front and back of that last page, will help guide in this process. This discernment process shouldn't only be something that we do during capital campaign, Foundations campaign. This should be something that we're renewing all of the time, but this is a great opportunity to see, what do I actually value? What does my household actually value? What do I actually invest in? And it's so good to do that. And so this is an opportunity to do that. So to honestly assess I want you to invest in this parish and what God is doing in Christ the King. Not in the kingdom of God. I want you to do that too. But I want to say, I want us to grow this church, grow our capacity in so many different ways. And this is a great opportunity to do that. So I will stop there at 31 minutes. Thanks, John, my conscience back there. I'm not going to open up the questions right now or comments right now, but we have a month at least to ask questions. If you want to see spreadsheets, if you want to see plans, if you want to see all of the ways in which we are triaging, saying, hey, we're going to attack this first and this second and this third and all those sorts of things, we're an open book, okay? There's a lot of things happening behind the scenes. And if you want to talk about anything related to everything that's in this packet or anything that I said, please come talk to me. I'll be reaching out to you as well in this next month. Josiah, take it away from me, please.
I would just want you guys to be tuned into the fact, you probably get this already, but Chris has spent weeks, months, hours praying for you, praying for us, researching, learning, asking questions, doing a ton of work, and he's bringing that work to the vestry, who's interacting with that. We are not nearly, haven't been nearly as generative as he has been. So I just want to publicly say thank you for the investment you have made in our souls and loving us and caring for us, but for the ways you've been so intentional about how you structure how we operate, how we do this Foundations campaign. So let's just say thank you. I am very excited about what's happening here in our church and so thankful for all of you and the ways that you show up faithfully to bless and serve with the gifts God's given you. I think that is a picture of what the body of Christ is all of us having a role and using our gifts, how God's shaped you to serve. How does that fit with the needs of our community, our parish? I think the same thing applies financially. We're not all at the exact same capacities and abilities, and we haven't all been as successful financially, where we have been all blessed. But honestly, it's all God's. And one of the things I think that's beautiful about this opportunity in the life of our church is to evaluate and assess, how are we stewarding what God's given us? And how can we learn and grow to steward that in effective ways that amplify blessing to others, amplify blessing to our church. When I think about the kids that are in the back room and the next 12 that are going to join our church in a month, and the next 12 that are going to join 6 months later, you know, I think if we have success as a parish, a lot of ways you can measure that, but it's likely that if there's health and vibrance and goodness happening, we'll be pulling more people in. We'll be inviting more people to join. We are doing this thing. Will you come worship with us? Will you be part of the way God's at work in our parish? And I think, yes, more opportunities. I think also more needs. So I know we're kind of focusing right now on the financial aspects of this Foundations campaign. But it goes far beyond just what we need to raise. It doesn't just solve it if we just get a check. God is forming us into the people, the kind of people who love, the kind of people who serve. And I think each church has a tendency to sort of gravitate more toward an inward, like what do we need in our group of our people that we're comfortable with? Or I think churches often kind of shift the other way, and it's all external. What are we out, out, out? And sometimes those can neglect the other. But I think the line that Father Chris is trying to lead us in is to accomplish both, and to minister and disciple and bring up and raise up, have a healthy, vibrant internal focus, but not neglect the external focus of our community, our neighbors, and who's beyond. And I think having a ministry center, a place of worship, is, I think, in a lot of ways, it's like where we launch from. It's where we get health. It's where we are getting fed. So I think this is a cool sheet to just look at together, counting the cost page. The cool thing about this little breakdown is it basically shows us how many givers at different level equal $300,000. For me, I think $300,000 can feel like, how do we do that? It's a lot of money. But when you actually look at the amount of gifts at the different levels, we can get there. And I think Father Chris pointed it out, there are people outside of our parish who see how God is at work. They see our needs. They want to be a part. They want to support. And I think that is beautiful. I think we should be inviting others in to help. But I think we can't do that without us sacrificially giving. And I think that's the cool thing about even the tiered approach that Father Chris has spelled out. He's counting the costs. That's trickled into sort of our vestry. We're assessing and counting the costs. And our church, in our whole church, counting the costs and committing. And then I think we can, once we're there, I think then another stage is inviting other people who have resources, who would want to be a part of what we're doing, to support. But for me, I am just entering this campaign with just a lot of gratitude. God is at work in our midst. He's doing beautiful things there. I think it's easy to forget. God meets us in our broken places, not in our health. Wherever we feel like, whatever the area of your life and your story that you feel the most confident, the most proud, the most like, this is so cool that I love this. That's not often the place. It's like actually the opposite. It's like in the place of need. And maybe that is financially. But like when you are at a broken place of need, that's where the light gets in. It's the cracks, the broken pot that we are. So I think I wouldn't, but I think this is a place where there's a desire to be, to let the light in and to be transformed and changed and grow and pursue Jesus faithfully. So I'm excited about what's happening here at Christ the King and with us. I'm so thankful for all of you and just the amazing support and the amazing, I feel like it is a family. So thank you all so much for being here and being a part of this family. I want to see our family grow. I want to see, invite more people into our family. I want to see our family more effectively serve. So I think this is a huge milestone in the life of our church. So I think it's incredibly exciting. I think we ought to just operate with a lot of gratitude, but like, let's not be content. Let's go further in.
Pray for us, then we can go.
Thank you, God, for the ways you love us and care for us, for the gift of these people and this place. God, you know our hearts. You know the needs that we have in our own spiritual lives, in our own physical health. You know the needs of our families that are represented here. And we long for this space and this place to be a place of healing and hope, a place where we can change, and we can grow to be more like Jesus, where we can encourage each other in our lives. And we do just deeply long for unity and for a place where we can throw in our hands together and work together and serve together and receive from you together as a family. And we just pray as we launch this foundations campaign that it would be a strong foundation built in this facility and in our space, and that lives would be transformed here. And that you would receive worship and glory and honor, and that the ways that beauty is demonstrated here in this place in the lives of people, in the space itself, and the art on the wall, and music that we sing, the ways that you receive glory. We pray that we would see you change us and grow us and mature us. Thank you so much for each one here. We pray that your will be done here in Southern West Virginia, here in Beckley, and in heaven. Praise in Christ's name.
Amen. Yeah.